Tuesday's here. Glory to God. Glory. And it's the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast.
Hallelujah.
We were talking about it before the yesterday's broadcast. My father in the faith, Oral Roberts, and they were itinerant preachers. So you finish a meeting in a church and you just go to the next one and you live with a deacon or the pastor. And Miss Evelyn got very tired of that. And she said, Oral, if you don't get me a house, I'm taking these kids and I'm going home. He said, you wouldn't do that. She said, you just try me. So it was a Wednesday night service. I can just see his face now. His eyes would just light up when he'd tell this. And the way he started telling this, he said, most people know me, you know, for the healing and miracle ministry. But he said, I didn't get that first. Mm. But he said, we just got paid $50. And he said, it was our whole paycheck. And we were having the service. And he said, I just stood up in that Wednesday night service. And he said, we're just going to build a parsonage. And so he said, somebody get a hat. So the piano player got a hat and he put his $50 in there and blessed that. Then he said, what am I going to tell Evelyn? And he said, it was January. He said, I went in there and she said, Oral, you didn't do that. Yes, I did. And he said, what, our whole paycheck, what are we going to do? Well, it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and they were staying in a home with a deacon. So he got up and answered it. It was the wealthiest farmer in the county. Hmm. He said, Oral, I didn't put anything in that offering tonight, and I'm ashamed of myself. I'm a farmer, and I know if you're going to get a crop, you have to plant a seed.
Come on.
And he dug up 4 $100 bills out of a... He said, I'm playing in the stock market and I'm about to lose my farm. And he said, I dug this up. I said, I had this in a can in the backyard. But he said, I want the Lord to have it through you. And it's $4 $100 bills. Hmm. And he said, Evelyn and I, and either one had seen $100 bill. He said, I went in there and I just fanned those. And he said, look, this is the harvest on our seed.
Come on, come on.
And that's where it came from.
Come on. God's word never returns void.
No, it doesn't.
It always accomplishes what it says it will. That's why I love the scripture, because in the area of our finances in particular, plus every other area of our life, God says, prove me now. Mm. Test me. And that's what he did. He put his faith and he said, my faith is on the line here. I'm going to believe God for everything that we need. You know, I was reminded of a story.
Now, that brought on something else. I need to put that, because this doesn't finish it to do this. That broke him through.
Come on.
In an area of prayer.
Yeah.
And he got so hungry for the miracle ministry that God promised him when he healed him of tuberculosis and of stuttering. Mm. And just a short time after this. Mm. A member of his church had an engine mechanic fell on his foot.
Right.
Just a short time after that. He went in there and he said, oh my God. And he just touched his foot like that. And the guy, there was blood coming out of his boot. He said, Oral, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. He said, yes, you did. I'm healed.
Yeah. Wow.
And he got up and stomped down on that boot, and it was right after he had the revelation of sow the seed.
Come on.
Well, he
had
sown a seed that was bigger than he thought he had.
That's right.
And it broke into that miracle ministry.
Hallelujah.
And it just shifts you into another level.
You mentioned that, it pulled him over there.
Yeah.
The revelation.
And the revelation of it. And he said after that, he said... That is something like he said, after that, the deal was on. So they went to, they left there, decided they'd go to Tulsa. They always wanted to live in Tulsa anyway. And she said, well, what are we going to do? He said, well, you know, we have some good friends. We'll go stay with them. So they called him. They said, yeah, you guys come on over here till we find a place for you. And he said, Oil, I'm having a tent meeting here. Would you like to preach a night or two in it?
Come on.
He said, I believe it will. And a couple of nights later, a deranged man walked in the back of that tent and took a shot at him with a 30-30. And it went through that top of that tent right above his head, and it was the shot heard around America of tent evangelist. Whoa!
Come on.
And it started with that $50.
Wow.
Everything changed.
Mm-hmm. Everything changed. You know,
your tent.
Yeah.
Happened to be a conglomeration of buildings sitting on a river down there that nobody said you could do it.
Yeah. But it started with a seed.
Yes,
you see, it started with a seed for God to come through to take you to the next level. You have to watch what he does and see the testimony. Your testimony of what God has done in your past is going to position you for your future.
Say because it again, please.
Your testimony for what God has done in your past is going to position you for your future.
That's in your book.
I believe it somewhere.
Yeah, it's in your book.
But here's what I want you to understand, because everything...
You want me to read it to you?
Yeah.
Get on the giving side, position yourself to prosper.
Amen.
Yeah.
You put yourself in position.
Correct. And you never get out of that position.
No.
Now, I want to share this brief little thought. When God had spoken to us about the building, and I was reminded of it as you were speaking, we had the vision. God had shown me the structure complete of the building in the vision. But everybody for many years said it could never be. Everyone said it is impossible to do what we want to do. And we had gone on many years believing God financially for it and believing God for a breakthrough to come. And I got to the point where we had hired four different architects,
engineers,
four different engineer companies. Everybody came, looked, and left the project. Cannot be done. Cannot be done.
This is for the dying.
Cannot be done.
Four different ones.
Four different companies. And at the end of that, that was a process of about 2 years of my life. And I was saying, God, you gave me the vision. Mm-hmm. Why would you give me a vision that we can't complete? Mm-hmm. In other words, you've said something to me. We've grabbed it. We've got the promise on it. Why would it be not be able to complete in the natural? And the Lord really dropped in my spirit, and he said this to me. He said, what I've given you can be done, but it's got to be spirit-led.
That's right.
It cannot be done naturally. They were looking at a 5-story building, over 100 years old, 5 floors high, to put on a dome roof.
Without those concrete pillars. That
I said, no pillars inside. You were there. You
That's
saw the pillars.
I couldn't understand. I mean,
the natural
but
mind.
But I believed it. Yeah. I just couldn't understand how you're going to do this.
Yeah, the natural mind, it was impossible in the natural. But this is the amazing thing with God. When it looks like it's impossible in your natural mind, get out of your natural mind.
That's right.
All right, because your natural mind is going to hold you back and restrict you from everything that God has for you, because you're always using everything of your natural to measure where you are. And I went before God and I said, God, you spoke this building into being. You gave me the vision. I saw the dome roof. I was under the anointing. I know. I've recorded it. Lord, how can everyone be telling me it cannot be? And the Lord said, it shall be. I said, Lord, they don't know what to do. He said, I do.
Amen. Praise God.
And I'll never forget, I took a piece of paper. He's told me, get a paper and a pencil. And I got a blank piece of white paper, and I got a pencil under the anointing. And I drew what God told me to draw from an engineering perspective. I have no engineering background. I am under the anointing here right now.
From your spirit.
From my spirit was speaking, not my mind. In other words, my mind, everyone had said no, but in my spirit, no I context. Had what I believed was God drawing it.
True.
Laying it out. And I drew it all out. I phoned another set of architects and engineers that had previously said it can't be done. I said, God has given me the way for it to happen. They said, all right. It was like you could hear the hesitancy on the phone. I said, I'd like to meet with you. We had the meeting the next day. They came. We sat around a table like this. I had the piece of paper. I pushed it across the table, and I turned it to face them, and I said, the Lord says, this is how you're to do it. This is how it has to be engineered. They looked at it. They looked at each other. They looked at the paper. They looked at each other.
Got the calculations out.
They said, we never thought of this. But we can't give you an answer now because we have to put it into the computer.
Sure.
And the computer has to validate what you're showing us over here. Can it handle the pressures of the engineered structure five floors high on the way that you're saying it needs to handle
it? Now, if you'd ever been inside there, you'll know what he's talking about. Because it had to have that cantilever shape like this.
Correct.
To hold all that up in all kinds of weather, in all kinds of situations and circumstances, to keep that thing from collapsing with a bunch of people in it.
Correct.
And when I first came in there, I was astounded. Because I saw it both ways. And I looked up at that, and I thought, this is the most miraculous looking. Well, it wasn't miraculous. I hadn't heard this part.
Yeah, yeah.
But I looked up at that, and I was just awestruck. And I'd been riding in there in that golf cart that morning. And here's the thing. It was really raining outside. It was really, really, really raining. This is a big thing. It's really raining. You stepped inside, you could hear no rain.
Come on.
The elements were not touching it at all.
Yeah.
And here was this magnificent dome structure that all of this engineering had to go into this thing.
Yeah.
To take a beat up old barn and structure it so that it would never, ever collapse.
Amen.
Now, this is a huge thing.
Now, here's what I want you to hear. They go away. They enter the data into the computer.
Yes.
They come back to me the next day. They sit across the table and they say these words, our computer agrees with God.
You think that wasn't a witness to them?
Our computer agrees with God.
Of course it did. He invented
victory
computers.
For God. Come on. Victory for God.
Yes.
I mean, have you ever heard someone say, our computer agrees with God? And I sat there. The anointing hit me in such a strong way, and I realized, God, you are faithful.
Amen.
Yes. You are faithful. You will never let us down. You will never tell us something. You'll never take us halfway and not all the way through. Amen. You'll never take us to a point where we have to retreat.
Yes.
What you have spoken to us, the word you have given us, we're going to push through.
Amen.
Why? Because, God, you have spoken. Your word is always yea and amen. Your word is always faithful. And it never returns void.
And there's no such thing as an obedient seed sown.
Yeah. Come on.
Not coming to pass.
Amen.
That's right.
There's no such thing as that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that can happen is for us to contaminate it.
Yep.
There's another very extremely powerful force at play here.
While you find
again, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst.
Praise God.
No, there was three.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Yeah. But Brother Kenneth, I got to tell you this because that scripture is so powerful. And that scripture confirms something to me. They, when they engineered it complete, and this is the final little part of this engineering testimony, they had the scaffolding, everything set. It was all D-Day to take the pressure off it.
Right.
Because they built it up with the scaffolding and then they had to release the pressure on the scaffolding for it to relax.
See what it's going to do.
And see what it's going to do. They said, if it moves more than 4 inches, now you need to understand, this is 110 meters, which is 400 and something feet in one direction and another 75, which I believe is about 265 feet. All right. If it drops more than 4 inches, we've got trouble. It was D-Day.
Yeah.
And we stood there and we watched them release the pressure. And the structure moved half an inch.
Praise
half an inch.
The computer agreed with
the
God.
The computer agreed with God. If two or more agree over anything, it shall.
Now, this is nowhere near in that larger complex, but it's the same thing. We left Tulsa, and Gloria immediately began to... she wanted her own home. So she would take, she took pictures and things. And then she got graph paper.
Yeah.
And she had all of her furniture in there and everything. She had it all leveled out there. She came to me and she said, Kenneth, I'm either going to have to build this house or quit. She said, I've worked on it for 30 years now. And it's getting big. And I said, well, Gloria, it's a dream. Dream on. I remember saying that, just dream on. I said, let it happen. So she said, okay, we're going to have to pray. So we went to our place where we always prayed there like that. At that time, it was Steamboat Springs. We went up there for a weekend. Sitting there on the couch that third morning, which was a Sunday morning. Mm. And here's what the Lord said. This is what I want to get to. Mm. He said, her dream has taken upon itself faith.
Come on.
Praise
come
God. On.
And he said, she is giving birth to that home.
Wow.
You minister this house to her.
Come on.
It's part of your prosperity. He had me turn to the 54th chapter of Isaiah and read the first three verses.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Glow, I have the answer. And the Lord asked me to read this to you. Mm. I read it. She began to cry. This is important because this is the same thing. I said, what's the matter, baby? Those were the scripture I wrote on my little list when Brother Robert's book, Don't Let Anybody Steal Your Dream, for the perfect house and home for our family and the ministry.
Praise God.
Come on.
And then the architect. Now, Mac Hammond's brother-in-law, Len's twin.
Right.
And his brother-in-law is an architect.
Mm.
Well, he builds big things, but he had a residential architect. I can just see it in my mind. He looked at that, and she had this graph paper out there. Mm. Now, he said, I believe this is the easiest job I've ever done. All I have to do is transfer this to architectural drawing.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on. Come on.
She had already picked out the company, the Parker Company. Come to find out they were dedicated Christians.
Praise God.
And they tore out one thing in our home. He came to me and he said, listen, it sure wasn't Gloria's fault. It is mine. We misread the plans.
Wow.
Now, the first of next month, we will have lived in that house for 23 years.
Hmm.
Come on.
Nothing, but very rarely ever goes wrong with it.
Right, right.
Praise God.
It was a God house. Hmm. And the Parker Company said, well, And don't write me letters. I won't answer them. Because they said, we've never built one this large. Well, it looks bigger than it really is because it has a guest garage on one end. You see it from the front. And it has then our garage on the other end. But they said, but we're believers.
Come on.
And we can do it.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
And but look, it was the same thing. Mm. Her dream, your dream, took upon itself faith,
right.
Began to produce, the vision came, and then God did the engineering.
Right.
And then they put it in the computer. And it moved a half an inch.
And a half an inch.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Your dream took upon itself faith.
Yes.
Come on.
And the two of you walking in agreement, the two of you never doubting this thing one way or the other, just stay with your faith because it's a God plan.
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah.
It's a God plan.
It is.
And the Lord told me, he said, you stay out of it. He said, I never told a wise man to build his nest. And he said, you tell her what you want and let her put it in there. And he said, you stay out of it. I don't want you to go out there. So I went out there the day they poured the foundation. And of course, we'd been, you know, believing all these long years for that one.
Yes.
Right.
And the day they poured the foundation is paid for.
Praise God.
Of course, it's ministry lands. But anyway, the house is paid for.
Come on.
And we had some friends. It was framed up. Almost. They wanted to see it. I took them out there. They said, what is this? I said, I don't know. And what is that? I don't know. You act like you've never been here. I said, that's right. I said, this is hers.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And what she had seen in her spirit, she already knew where to buy the antique furniture that she wanted. She already knew what the colors were. And she kept picking to her dream, took upon itself faith.
Come on.
And that house grew out of it.
That's right.
And we lived up the other end of the lake. Now, here's something I want to add to this, because I hear it in your sense. We'd get in a boat and come down to that property. And we'd anchor up out there, and she'd say, okay, Kenneth, at the end of it's going to be over there. I said, is that right? Yeah. And the other end is going to be over here. See, I didn't have any vision, but I believed her.
Come on.
That's awesome.
And 1st of September, the year of 2000, we moved in.
Come on.
And I saw it for the first time. And I walked out there at the edge of the lake. And I just sat down out there and I cried. I said, Jesus, a little country hick from Abilene, Texas. And look at this.
A journey of
to
faith.
Thank him.
Amen.
And so we got in the boat and we anchored out there and we said, Daddy!
Hallelujah.
But that house was 30 years in the making.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this dream began to grow.
Right.
Because of your need.
Yeah.
No place to have church. Fussing. You cannot do what you're called to do in a place that doesn't belong to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So exactly. You got one that did.
Right.
And we're out of time again.
Can you believe it?
No, but I have to. It just kind of let that just soak in.
Yeah.
Don't ever let anybody steal your dream.
Amen. Yeah.
Never. And Brother Roberts wrote a little book like that. Don't let them steal your dreams. Their dream is from God. He dreamed of that university.
Come on.
He dreamed of it. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll be back.
There are those who seem to have discovered the key to financial freedom. If abundant prosperity remains elusive to you, it's time to look again at what God says about giving and receiving. The Gift of Giving by Andre Raybert is a transformative journey into the heart of biblical generosity. Uncover key truths from Scripture about giving and dispel misconceptions surrounding principles of sowing and reaping. Your giving isn't just about what you offer, but the motive behind it. Learn how to release bold faith in receiving God's best for you through genuine, selfless giving. Debunk the myth that only anonymous or secret giving is blessed by God. Understand that giving with a pure heart is the true path to abundance. As you embrace the truths within this book, let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and witness a life overflowing with God's goodness and bountiful prosperity. You'll become a living testament to God's generosity, inspiring others and drawing them to a generous God who delights in blessing His people. Don't miss this amazing journey. Walk in the financial freedom God has for you. Get your copy of The Gift of Giving by Andre Raybert for only £6.50. Outside the UK, call for postage. Receive an in-depth look into how biblical generosity and giving lead to God's prosperity. Order online at kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. This offer is good for 30 days.
Granville Oral Roberts loved God's Word as a little boy. He stuttered and stammered so badly that in front of people, he couldn't even say his name. But his mother said, "No, this is my preacher."
Come on.
They said, "Miss Roberts, you..." No, she's... But a tent preacher laid his hands on him. He never studied again, and he was healed of tuberculosis.
Praise God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
But he had that dream, and he couldn't do it because of his physical condition. But he had the dream.
Hmm.
And that night, the Lord said, "I want you to build me a university." That was his dream. And if the Lord allows, possibly we'll talk about it tomorrow. I wanted you to see that. Don't let anybody steal your dreams.
That's right.
And you won't ever, if you'll always remember this, that God loves you. Mm-hmm. And it's God that gave you the dream. Don't give up on it.
That's right.
He loves you. And we love you. This ministry loves you. This ministry loves you.
Amen.
And contact us. Let us know. We have people that can help. And remember this. Jesus is
Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.